Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host Mark Snyder. It's 1:46 p.m. on the 29th of January 2021. I've got a lot of very interesting clips and we're going to study a little bit from the Might of Thoughts book from Edward Albert Meyer, but I want to play a situation update, as Mike Adams calls them, that talks about what's going on in the U.S. and this potential war with China. So let's go here.
With objections to the presidential transition. And I mean, these terms are just amazing. And so this is them setting up the narrative that's going to be followed by the false flag to blame conservatives and then to roll out the Biden police state to put everybody under the thumb of an authoritarian, brutal, oppressive regime, which is a waypoint to mass extermination and global depopulation. See? So they know they've got to take away the guns from everybody, and in order to take away the guns, they have to have the narrative and the false flag operation, and then, you know, the problem reaction solution. So that is all coming, and my concern is that this is going to happen very soon, in the next maybe 60 days or something, maybe 90 days. It's going to happen very soon because they need the Insurrection Act to try to seize more power before the military moves against Biden. Now, yes, the military is still prepared to move against Biden, who is an illegitimate, illegal, fake president, who did not win, and whose so-called victory was only augmented by cyber warfare activities from foreign enemies of the United States, notably China, an aggressor nation. And maybe half of America knows this by now, but as I've discussed before, the military needs Biden to be even less popular than he is now in order to get what they see as a sufficient number of Americans to support their actions.
Okay, so Mike Adams is saying that eventually the military is going to move against Biden and that he's an illegal and fake president, which I agree. It was total election fraud that got him in. We now have a puppet of the communist Chinese who's the head of our country. We are in such dire straits right now. It's very scary. I also am going to fast forward a little bit in this video and we're going to talk about the potential war with China now.
Government will not be able to provide universal basic income payments as well as food stamp payments to the desperate masses. And just as you've seen, especially inner city populations, whenever things, you know, when the police go home or whatever, what do? They riot and they start stealing big screen TVs and name brand sneakers. We saw this all last year with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots, right? Well, when the banking system freezes, this is going to happen in every city nationwide all at the same time. America will be plunged into chaos. So that's the second event, an economic debt collapse. The third event is international warfare, most likely with China. So we're on the verge of war with China right now. As you know, things were heating up with China before the election, and even after the election and before the inauguration, things were heating up. Pompeo was, you know, taking it to him. And China's threatening Taiwan again. And there have been air incursions into Taiwan's airspace by Chinese planes, military planes. The United States is currently not backing off its posture with China in terms of its naval power. The United States continues to assert its authority to occupy disputed zones near China, the Taiwan Straits, for example, and the Spratly Islands and other such places. So this tension continues to exist. China, as you know, before the election, had already prepared, it was said to be 275,000 troops to invade the United States by land in conjunction with some other form of attack, such as the hidden container missile systems or an EMP weapon or perhaps some kind of attempted nuclear strike. Who knows? I mean, hopefully not, but China wants to conquer America. This has long been their goal. They want to kill the American people and occupy North America. And this is why they have already convinced Canada to go along with their goals. Should any kind of war break out between China and Taiwan, America would be brought into that war. Or should there be a conflict directly between China and the United States, then America would be brought into that conflict. And this would lead, I believe, to nationwide economic destabilization and a loss of faith in the ability of the Biden regime to be able to govern in a way that protects the national interests of the United States of America. In other words, these three scenarios that I've just mentioned, massive domestic attacks of some kind, even dirty bombs, economic collapse, or international warfare, all three of these events are similarly destabilizing. They would place blame on the Biden administration and its gross incompetence, where this fake president, this fake commander, can't even figure out how to put a pen in his jacket pocket, and he's mumbling through as he's signing now 40 executive orders, mumbling. He can't even talk. If things start to go to hell in this country, while that crazy faker puppet is sitting there in the White House, this is going to spur, I think, the military to take action, because they know that if they don't, the people are not, they're just not going to put up with it, I would imagine. You're going to see secession, you're going to see protests nationwide, you're going to see people, you know, ditching the dollar and moving into Bitcoin. Bitcoin could skyrocket.
All these events could happen, and as you know, the Meyer Prophecies, Contact Report 215, for 20 or 30 years now, Billy has said, we'll have two civil wars, the U.S. will break up into, I think, five or six areas. Not good news at all, as we continue to walk forward in this. Now we've got another clip here, with a guy named Scott McKay is saying that there are arrests being made, and we'll listen to a bit of this and see if it makes any sense.
I don't know. We're going to get this information out. Trust me, folks. This is going to happen. I'm telling you. I have it, but I want her to read it. You there, Pop? Pop, are you? I'm going to hang up and call you right back. I have to call you right back. All right, so here's how we're going to do this, folks. I'm going to get Kirsten on the line because I can't join this phone call when somebody calls me. So,
hello?
Okay, now hang on, Kirsten. I figured out. I don't know why. Hold on a second, Kirsten. I don't know why this is happening, but this particular moment, I had to initiate both of these calls. So don't hang up. Please don't hang up. Hold on, Pop. Okay, Kirsten, you're here now. Okay, now I got the general back here. I couldn't have this intel being dropped by you without the general. But so everybody's here. I'm going to say this again. We're live. So Kirsten, go ahead. Start from the top when you read to me why this contact reached out to you with this intel. So just read through it, and then we'll discuss it after you're done.
Okay. Good morning. He must be in Taiwan, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours ago. Good morning. I am someone in the know appointed and posted to a liaison position in Taiwan, Republic of China. As you know, Taiwan's Republic of China. China is People's Republic of China. That's Communist China, okay? Mm-hmm. By someone in 45's inner circle, I wish to relay some intel to be useful to you and your audience. You may disseminate this information as you see fit. as one of the few patriots, and in brackets, he's referring to me, and the only Chinese patriot, I assume he means in the media, with the wit and keen observational skills to realize that Mogul is still, in fact, our POTUS. The fact that you have been the person who has been most accurately described what is happening in the shadows through your guests and intel gathered. And in addition to your perspective analysis of Chinese politics and foreign relations, I believe you and your channels would be the most prudent person and outlets to share this information with. Let me say something. After I got this email, that one big channel was unsuspended from being suspended for months.
So you think you think they unsuspended that channel for you so you could probably go on that? Okay, gotcha.
So now I have two channels. Let's get to the point. The lifting of some of the restrictions of the Taiwan Relations Act and of course, the China One China policy was more substantive than it appears. In fact, it was actually the dilution of the Taiwan Relations Act. The United States government is no longer recognizing the People's Republic of China, that is Communist China, as the legitimate government of the mainland. This is being done jointly with Chairman Xi and 45, although this can't be brought to the public light at this time, it will be revealed shortly. Prior to the dissolution of the Taiwan Relations Act, United States Indo-Pacific Command, under the direction of 45 with the Taiwan Republic of China military, have been preparing an occupation force for the mainland when the CCP collapses in the coming months. Why do you think the Taiwan Relations Act was dissolved? If it had remained, it would have been a legal barrier to help the occupation of the Chinese mainland with the Chinese Republic of China forces. That's Taiwan again. You are undoubtedly aware Chairman Xi has been removing key CCP loyalists with the Chinese military structural command. Like I said, translated that means I'm removing the poison from the bone. Why do you think this was done? It was done to install Xi and the alliance and to facilitate the upcoming occupation of the Chinese mainland with the U.S. and the ROC, Republic of China Occupational Forces, that's Taiwan. In the coming months, Chairman Xi will be dissolving the People's Republic of China, stepping down from the CCP leadership and using the Chinese forces to keep order and the Chinese economy from collapsing while the U.S. and the Republic of China, Taiwan, forces install a provisional government led by the Taiwan Republic of China. All of this will be done peacefully as it will not be that dissimilar to what happened in the former USSR, that's Russia, when it collapsed. 45 remains firmly in control of what is important and our assets. In order for 45 to return to the public eye in the position he has earned, CCP's supply chain of influence and resources, that means the mainstream media, have to be removed to facilitate this, and hence why this has been planned all along and will occur before March 2021. As I said, February is buckle your seatbelt month. Buckle your seatbelt. This is also why 45 has been in Florida until now and putting the finishing touches on all the pieces of the proverbial chessboard. All of this has always been 45's plan to remove the CCP influence around the world and in China. Keep the faith. All is being revealed. And he will give me more.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to summarize what she said because it's a little muffled, obviously, coming through the phone. Okay, so she was referring to Mogul, okay, and this is what they're saying, folks. They're saying with the, again, he's complimenting her as one of the few patriots, it's only Chinese patriot, with the wit and keen observational skills to realize, that's what he's saying about Kirsten, that Mogul is Secret Service code name for POTUS, for Trump. Is still, in fact, our POTUS. And she, Kirsten, is the one who's been most accurately describing everything that's going on here in the shadows, through the guests, through the intel that she has gathered. And that's probably why we connected up, because she and I have the same, we have the same vision of what's happening. And when Kirsten, you reached out to me, you're like, you know, you're the male version of me. We see the same thing here. Our analysis is the same thing. But what they're telling her is that her perceptive analysis of Chinese politics and foreign relations is absolutely dead on. Now, here's what's interesting. They lifted some of the restrictions on the Taiwan Relations Act, which is a big deal, because the dissolution of this allows the United States government to say they're not recognizing the People's Republic of China. So what's happening here is that, well, let me just go through a couple points here. What they're using, okay, under the United States, what's called Indo-Pacific Command, and I just mentioned yesterday, the General Flynn's brother was elevated to the head of the put at the head of the Pacific Command, now under the direction of Trump, with the Taiwan's Republic of China military. This is outside of the CCP military. This is a Taiwanese Republic of China military. Here's what they're doing. They've been preparing an occupation force for the mainland China when CCP collapses. Do you know what's happening here? You're talking about Taiwanese, Chinese forces, United States military forces going into China when the CCP collapses to occupy the place. Same thing that's going here. We've been worried about Chinese forces, 75,000 in Canada, worried about them launch an invasion on U.S. soil. As we heard, I can't verify that, 250,000 Chinese troops in Mexico for a land invasion of the U.S., which they'll never accomplish. And here we are with our assets, naval assets, Marines, Navy, Army, over there, ready to take down China's CCP and help gain control of the country to turn it over to a new republic. They're creating a new republic in China. And I heard this before, just like we are restoring our republic. So here's, and I've been saying this for over 3 years now, almost 4 years. I've been telling people, I've been saying, look, there are three people on the world stage that are working together as a trifecta to bring this cabal down. Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Xi, President Xi, Chairman Xi, are working together to bring this thing down. This is the first thing that I have seen. And Modi, yeah, Modi, yeah. Yeah, India's Modi too, which, you know, some people had different opinions of Modi, but you could clearly see when Trump was there, Kirsten, and there were 100,000 people in a stadium, and Modi is embracing Trump, putting his arms around, hugging him in front of all these people. They're going crazy. You can see who the big players on the stage are. And why is India important? And I've said this for a number of years now. India is the potential economic tiger of this planet, more than China. Why? And you may have heard this before, Kirsten, but most people haven't seen it from this perspective. The problem with China is they're a graying society, okay? They had this one-child policy for so long, and basically it comes down to this. When you have this massive block, this population block that's this big, okay, from that one-child policy, it's a graying society. And now the financial resources to support this aspect of this huge society is only this big. There's just not enough. Hold on, Kirsten. Let me finish this because I got to get to this point. So the point is that even if they could produce the money to take care of all these people, they don't have the human capital. There's not enough people. There's not enough people to have enough doctors and nurses and technical people. Now, United States.
Okay, we'll have to talk about more about this in the future, if there's anything to it. I'm very skeptical. So allegedly Scott McKay here is saying that the People's Republic of China, the CCP, is collapsing. And we are supposedly have an occupation force over there. We'll wait and see on this one. I just had to include this. It's very interesting stuff. A little bit about the creation of natural laws. You know, there are laws in our universe. If you can follow these creational natural laws, then your life will go better for you. First is the law of love. This is effective love, not romantic love. It says love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So if you have this kind of love, effective love, brotherly love, then it helps your whole life move better. Then there's the law of striving. Striving is your work. Striving creates the life right up to the being. So striving means if you're striving, then you're going to enjoy your life. Really, the pleasure and delight that comes from life is from striving. It's not from getting drunk. It's not from having wild physical orgies. It's not from any of those kind of things, as much as we think that is fun sometimes. The real satisfaction comes from striving. And this is described in the book, The Way to Live, Du Art zu Leben. So if you're ever depressed, if you're ever feeling blue, then get to work. I mean, it's really the best thing, one of the best things for you to do. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness and grief, confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace, disharmony, lovelessness, resentment, lies, deceit, and reluctance for life. So, that's the key. Be able to commit yourself to work. Striving enhances your evolution. You evolve up to a higher... The point is the evolution of our consciousness. So we evolve to a higher level. Then there's the law of harmony. That means you think in an equalized, balanced way, with a little bit more positive than negative, but not a whole lot. You want to be in positive, equalized, and balanced. Now, if you have suffering that comes in suffering, as a rule, suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking if the suffering relates to negative and bad evil outcomes. And in this form, incidents of suffering are indicators that the law of harmony is disregarded and broken. So you're no longer in the neutral positive balance. You're either too positive, most of the time it's people too negative. And then you go in, you lose the law of harmony, and then you start to suffer. And this can happen right in the middle of the day when everything's going great. You're thinking gets wrong, and then you go into askertit, or you lose the good human nature. We all have a good nature. I know there's the doctrine of the sinful nature from the Bible, but really the spirit form is neutral. It's very neutral. The universe is neutral, and we just add a little bit of positive to that, and then we can have enthusiasm life. Now, the other thing here is the law of system and order, which involves having a structure in your life. If you want to be happy, healthy, and successful, the daily life has to be structured and adhered to. It means you want to try to keep an exact schedule. Now, there are going to be some variations, but try to keep it. And this will make you have purposefulness, and you'll have a sense of aim a goal in your life. But a lot of times people get this feeling of aimlessness, purposelessness, disorder, and that they go into a depression. So keeping the structure, keeping the schedule, it keeps you neutral positive, continuing to work, continuing to focus, staying in the law of harmony, neutral positive balance, and have this brotherly love towards yourself and towards other people. One of the things that we do sometimes is we chastise ourselves. We really shouldn't do this. We should take care of ourselves. And one of the important things about this is that we should take care of our body, be our own best friend. Let me read a few things here from, again, this is The Arts of Leaving the Way to Live, one of Billy's 60 or 70 books I think he's written now. Therefore, regardless of how your clothing is, well-made, comfortable, elegant, or extravagant, and so forth, of absolute importance is that it is very clean and well cared for, and that you also goes for your teeth and your hair, the fingernails and the toenails and the intimate areas, as well as the entire body. Never allow yourself to appear ragged in your clothing and your self-care, not even when you are hidden, forgotten by the world and alone somewhere in the deepest desert and you cannot see any human being. Therefore, never go around dirty, not even when you are concealed, because you owe that to yourself. So let me read that again. Never allow yourself to appear ragged in your clothing and self-care, even when you are hidden, forgotten by the world, and all alone somewhere in the deepest desert, you cannot be seen by any human being. Therefore, never go around dirty, not even when you are concealed, because you owe that already to your self-esteem, alone in the fulfillment of your duty to yourself and your own duty. Do not clothe yourself in dirty and ragged form, and never unworthy of your position, regardless of what that may be. Even the beggar is able to clothe himself in decent and clean garments, even if they may be mended and worn away in uncontrollable places, and only just correspond to his or her very minimal needs. Never go around unrightly, and never go bent over or drunk due to alcohol or drugs. Always practice good manners, and indeed also when nobody observes you. Therefore, also go around with good manners when you are alone with yourself and only have yourself as company. Alone, thus you can stand before yourself in honor and dignity, and take joy in yourself because of your good manners and in esteem for the fulfillment of your duties to yourself and to your own duties, which you also nurture in regard to yourself in total isolation and aloneness. Never misevaluate or misjudge your own value. Never lose the confidence in yourself. That's a huge statement, because he says anxiety and doubt are evil elements of disintegration that make every straight line of evolution curved. Always retain the consciousness of your own human dignity and that of the next human being, so that you are never tempted to disregard or condemn yourself or the human being next to you, as unrighteous and imperious ones do. Who can condemn you or the next human being to life or death through a judgment, even if they can never justify that in any single case? Also, consider your feelings so that these move along lines which are just as correct and sincere as your whole mentality and your actions. Also, consider that you may always be just as wise and skillful as many others. Also, think of this: you never lack the enthusiasm and sincerity to do the same good and sublime things that someone else also does. Attempt to achieve good and better things, and never be slack in efforts to be better than you know yourself to be, and be better than you consider possible. Okay, wow, there's a lot to think about there. And he did mention feelings, which we've been talking about feelings a fair amount on this show. And I think it's one of the important things to remember, that the feelings, they grow out of the thoughts. And feelings are, they summarize things. Your feelings summarize information. They allow the thoughts to discharge their energy. The feelings grow slowly out of the thoughts. And you may have something very complicated that you're trying to deal with, and you'll get a feeling when that subject comes up. And that's your overall summary to yourself about what that thing means to you, if it's some relationship that's having trouble or whatever. The feelings make things simpler. They summarize things. They allow your thoughts to discharge their energy. Feelings are different than emotions. The emotions are reactions. They surge quickly, and they cause problems. Emotions can even stimulate thought. And sometimes the thought isn't the best that you can have. But feelings are actually sustaining to your life. They make life more bearable and easier. They tend to manifest slowly. And the feelings generate power that goes to your psyche. Your psyche is the part of your mentality that controls the thoughts, administers the thoughts and feelings of what's called your material consciousness. The material consciousness is who you are in this lifetime. It deals with your personality as well as the unconscious, subconscious, and conscious minds. Now you have a spiritual consciousness, which is called your innermost self. The spirit form, remember, comes into the body of the mother, comes into the body of the child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. So there isn't really too much of a child there. But that spirit form, it lodges in the superior colliculus of this brain. This child that's only 21 days old has a brain. And this energy, this intelligence, all your intelligence, much of your intelligence, I should say, is in your spirit form. It's not creative. It isn't completely conscious yet, but it absorbs all the wisdom that you have from all your lifetimes. So the spirit form, it's not unusual for a human spirit form to be 4 to 5 million years old here on the earth. And those are young, very young spirit forms. The human spirit form continues indefinitely. And it takes billions of years to go through these 7 stages of evolution. The last stage is where the real time is spent. We spend about 40 to 60 million years incarnating into a physical human body. And then we spend about 35 or 40 million years incarnating into a half physical, half spiritual body. And then we spend we've spent billions of years in the spirit realm. And I'm not going to hash all that out right now. I want to talk about the innermost self. And this comes from a webpage on the Future Mankind site. And it comes from his book, A Little Bit of Knowledge, Sense, and Wisdom. If the life is viewed and considered in all its situations and variations, then it can be recognized that life means a constant struggle, a continuous careful study of one's own innermost self and outer self. The innermost self, which exists in the deepest consciousness, reflects the values of the creational spirit. That's what I was talking about. But in opposition to that, the human being forms the outer self, the outer personality, according to his or her own views and understanding by means of his or her thoughts and feelings and will. And as a rule, the outer self, the outer personality, which is also released outwardly into the environment as one's own conduct, completely contradicts the innermost self, which has a creationally given nature. In the constant argument between the two forms of self, other factors continually attempt to interfere, which overlaying and superficially fight again and again to misguidedly shove themselves above the current occurrences of self-struggle. However, the innermost self nonetheless incessantly struggles through again and again and again and again, always rounds out and covers over the outer self, which is foreign to creation and is created by the human being himself or herself. Now, in the book Machter Gedanken and the Might of Thoughts, he talks about the innermost self. He calls it sometimes the innermost creational I. And he doesn't, I like the way he's using the term outer self. But I think in the book Might of Thoughts, he says he still uses inner self for this garrulous, talkative ego nature, which we create ourselves. So the terminology is a little different. I almost kind of like some of this terminology he's using here, because it does kind of seem like it really is the outer self. So, wow. What a data dump of information this has been. Maybe it's a good place to stop. There's so much more that can be said in so many different areas here, but I want to get this information out, and it's there's so much going on in the world. Oh, my goodness. And the mainstream media is completely unreliable. Don't even give it any credibility. It's total lies and lies and lies on top of lies. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.